You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray continues through our Vision 2020 series, talking about how we can facilitate growth in our church community.
Well, this morning, I want to show you how to become a straight-A student in the subject of spiritual community. That's what we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, and so I want to give you a way to get straight A's in spiritual community. And to do that, I want to move from the benefits you get from belonging to an intentional small group community. So the last 2 weeks, weeks one and weeks two of this Grow series, we focused on what are the blessings that you get from being in a community. Today, to the blessings that you give. This is our final Sunday in this particular series. Next week, we go back to the Gospel of Mark. And today, I want to talk about the blessings that you give, not just the benefits that you get, but the blessings you give by contributing in a small group intentional community. And here's the premise or the proposition of this message, that there are blessings that you bring to the family of God by connecting in it that only you can bring. Now, other people can bless those within your group. They can even bless in much the same way, but they can't bless in the unique way that you can bless, because God has created you uniquely. And when that blessing comes through the filter of your life, through the conduit, the DNA of your life, it looks different than the way somebody else would be a blessing to that particular group. So blessings that only you can bring to the group. But if you don't contribute those blessings, nobody else will. They will be kept in reserve in that great blessing box in the sky, never to be experienced by anyone else. They will be blessings that no one will ever receive. Think about that. If you don't use your life to bless others, those blessings will go unused. I think that's why the Apostle Paul said something quite profound in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Now, we often read these verses and we quote them, and sometimes we come into spiritual revelation, deeper revelation, insight into what they mean. And this is one of those verses for me, and this is what the Apostle Peter wrote. He said, each of you should use whatever gift. The Greek word for gift is charisma, charism. It's a gift. It's God's favor. It's a blessing. So you could use that narrowly as a spiritual gift or whatever general blessings God wants to give through you. So each of you should use whatever he has given you, whatever gift God has given you or you have received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Some translations speak of it this way, that we are called to administer God's grace. In other words, we're the conduit of God's grace. We are the managers, we're the mail delivery service, we're the doorman, we're the delivery service for God's multifaceted, multidimensional favor, his grace. I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about how profound that is. So what is the primary conduit of God's ongoing grace at Portland Christian Center? Now, his initial grace came through salvation, by believing in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on our behalf, that he paid the sacrifice for us to come into God's grace. And that grace is delivered through the presence and the work, the activity of the Holy Spirit. So that's God's initial grace to us. And then, of course, we live, as well as the world, we live under God's general grace. If it weren't for his grace, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't survive as the human race. But what is the specific ongoing grace of God? How does it come to us here at Portland Christian Center? Well, according to this verse, it's you and me ministering to one another. We are the conduit of God's grace. So we talk about God's great grace. We ask for more grace. We sing about amazing grace. And the next time you hear the word grace or we sing about the word grace, I want you to think about this. You and I, we're the source, we're the conduit, God flowing through us to one another to administer his grace to the body of Christ. You see, God has designed and he has destined you to make a unique contribution to this church, a contribution that only you can make by connecting in an identifiable, intentional small group. And so, if you are a part of Portland Christian Center, if you've been coming here for some time, now some of you are newer, you're still checking this out, you're trying to figure out where you belong, when you can get involved, and you're kind of processing that, that's fine. I'm not talking to you right now, but if you have identified with Portland Christian Center for some time and you are not intentionally connected, then you are neglecting God's plan to bless you and to make you a blessing. This is God's will. And if all you do is come and sit out there facing forward, looking at me, listening, I'm glad you do, but if you're not going the next step and connecting in intentional community, you are neglecting God's plan to bless you and to make you a blessing. Now, I know when I say that some of you are probably feeling like maybe I'm trying to strong arm you into signing up for the Portland Communities Experience. Well, I wouldn't use the word strong arm, but I am appealing to you. I'm appealing to you as your pastor in the strongest way I know. This is God's plan to bless you and to use you as a blessing. Now, I'm in good company here because Paul did that to the Galatians church. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, this is what he said. Listen to this. He says, you were called to be free. God has called you into freedom. But don't use your freedom to indulge yourself. In other words, don't spend your freedom making sure that you're getting what you want or to take care of what you prefer. Don't use your freedom to indulge yourself, but rather serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Listen, you are free in this church. You are free to do what you want within reason. Not like to live in sin and, you know, all that kind of, but listen, when I'm standing up here talking about things like this, you don't have to join a small group. We're not gonna make you. Linda received the offering a moment ago. We're not gonna make you give. We're not gonna make you come to church every Sunday. We're not gonna make you join the orchestra or get on a ministry team. We're not gonna force you to do that. And when we launch a new initiative, you've heard me say this before, this is just kind of the way we roll here. The way I do as a pastor is, I will simply do this. I will simply invite you to pray about it. And just pray this prayer. Honestly, pray this prayer. God, what would you have me to do? And then do it. And if God says, I'm not calling you to that, then you're off the hook. It's between you and God. We are not gonna come seek you out and say, how come you haven't done this? Now, if you get into a crisis because you've been neglecting the word of God, we might help you to connect the dots there, but you're free. You're free to do as you wish. But I want you to know this, that freedom, your freedom, carries a big responsibility to the one who bought that freedom for you. You're responsible to God. And he's got a church, the family of God, the body of Christ. This is the family of God, the body of Christ, that he wants you to connect in and then begin to love like crazy. That's his plan for you. And that's why he purchased your freedom. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says that Jesus loved the church and he gave himself up for her. Jesus loved the church and then he gave. He loved it by contributing to it. And in the Gospel of John, we're told that Jesus showed the full extent of his love to his disciples by kneeling and washing their feet. And then after he had done that, he said, I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done. You need to love one another. So that's what he wants from you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this, love your spiritual family. Not just in word, but indeed, love your spiritual family. How do you love it? You love it by connecting in it and then contributing to it. So what is the unique contribution that you can make? And I say unique, again, because you're the only one who can do it through who you are. Others can bless the church, but you have a way to bless the church that only you can do, right? So what is the unique contribution that you can make to bless us as we connect together in God's family? Well, I wanna give you four A's that if you will achieve these four A's, you will get straight A's on your spiritual report card, unlike your C student pastor up here. I did get a little brighter than that, I want you to know, if I don't mind saying so myself. So this is how you can get straight A's on your spiritual report card in this particular subject of spiritual community. So here's the first one. The first A is acceptance. Acceptance. This is really where it starts. The first contribution that you can make is helping others to feel accepted in your group. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. So how do you go about accepting other people? Well, you do it the same way Jesus accepted you. How did Jesus accept you? Well, I'll tell you what, he sought you out. You didn't find Jesus, he found you, by the way. He found you. We often talk about the day that I found Jesus. No, that's not accurate. Jesus found you, and you responded to it. So he found you, and he loved you, even though you didn't deserve, even though you were unlovable. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, God showed his love for us, and that Christ died for our sins. So he loved you, and then he forgave you when you were still undeserving. He brought you into the family of God. He connected you in the body of Christ. He cherishes you. He celebrates you. He has made a way for you to have a life of purpose and significance and joy and satisfaction within the body of Christ. Those are just some of the ways that Christ accepted you. So now that is how you are to accept other people into your group. And then it goes on to say that we are to accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to glorify God. Do you know that the purpose of your life, the grand purpose of your life, why you exist, why you are still taking in perfectly good